When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies, hello, gentlemen, hey, welcome to the Game Dev Unchained podcast, the number one podcast for video game development and the lifestyle of those game developers. So wherever you happen to be around the globe, world, state, city, town, are you listening to us get down? Let's get right into it. Larry Charles, one half of the team, helping me bring you this awesome podcast this week, carrying the other half of the workload, Mr. Brandon Pham.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained. Yes, you might be confused because before this, there's a lot of post-GDC interviews, so you might be hearing five episodes later. Why is his voice still like that? This is a pre-recorded episode, but that doesn't make it any less. Without further ado, it's not just me. I'm bringing a special guest with me this week, Monica Capiello.
Hey, guys. That was Monica, quite the intro.
Welcome. This is going to be a really exciting episode.
This is going to be a very fun thing. So, Monica, this is the part of the episode of the podcast that we let our guests, such as yourself, introduce yourself to our audience, a little bit about your background, where you are, where you're heading.
All right. So, hey, guys, my name is Monica, and I was in the industry for about 8 years where I did, I used to work for PBS and Red Giant Studios and a bunch of freelance. And then after that, I got into education where I started as an adjunct, went to become a full-time instructor, hopped on to being a department director of media, which included animation and game. And then I hopped over to be a dean at the Art Institute of LA. And then after that, I hopped down to be in the department director of a small college here at San Jose called Cogswell College. Yeah. And that's where I'm at right now.
That's quite a career. That's both sides of the fence, both professional and then instructing. Yeah,
it's been a lot of fun. I'm lucky to find such a perfect job for me. So both educational and also something that I'm passionate of, which is animation and games.
And so with your animation experience, I know you do 3D animation, but were you also doing 2D animation just for the people listening?
I did not do 2D. I actually focused on 3D animation.
So it was 3D. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And before we jump into the meat of this, what led you to animation in the first place? What made you decide that that's what you wanted to do?
So long ago.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Reboot?
Of course.
Like cartoon way back then. Aging ourselves.
Come on. Who are you talking to here?
Reboot. For sure. That was actually the first time I've seen 3D. And I just immediately fell in love with like the potential. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I wasn't the best 2D artist, but I loved drawing. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that 3D animation could be done in computers, I just wanted to pursue it. But at that time, they didn't really have anything in colleges for animation. So I did the next best thing, which was studio arts / sculpture and digital media, which is how I got into start working at graphic design, which eventually led me to commercial work and so on and so forth. Then I got into my master's in SCAD for animation, which I finally got to pursue my true passion. Mm-hmm. And then that led me to California. And here I am today.
Oh, nice. Wonderful.
Crazy. What a trip.
Seriously. So you also were on the student side as well as the academic side and the teaching side. For anybody who's new to our podcast right now, both Brandon and I were teachers at the Art Institutes, having spent time working underneath you as well. So this is like a reunion episode. So if we sound extra friendly, it's because we actually all know each other in real life.
Yeah, I think it's been like 5 years.
Oh my God, don't do that.
You should call me boss, everybody.
Yeah. I'm still on my best behavior. I might have one or two paychecks, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you really helped me at least. And I know Larry, right? Fulfill our dream because it's always been going through school to go back to school to actually give back to the community that we love and then teach. And our first teaching gig, I believe, at least for me, was with you, Monica. Yep. So you took a chance on us and we're very thankful for that. And that completely, you know, started us off in that path because I continued teaching after that for a good 5 years since Sledgehammer. Yeah, a good 5 years after that. I think I taught a lot in NorCal and in SoCal in Los Angeles for a while on physical locations. Mm-hmm. But it all started over there in Silicon Valley.
Got the taste. Once you start teaching, it's so rewarding. You know, mm-hmm. you really get to just kind of give what you know and what you've learned all these years and just kind of give them shortcuts so that they mm-hmm. can get there faster. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to just watch them learn and grow. So, yeah, I'm super passionate about teaching. And then when you guys came in, I remember that you guys had Art Institute. You guys were from the Art Institute, but you wanted to give back. So I hired you, Brandon, Kaylin. I had like the whole bunch of you guys. Kaylin, yeah. It was like a party.
Mm-hmm. But
the students came through loved the system. You guys. You guys made some really great changes to the program. So it was amazing.
Yeah. It's always fun. Because one of the things that we really love about the Arts Institute is that it's selfish in a way, because I kind of want to do this to give back. But it was a learning experience for me, because it was when I was a senior environment artist, right? It was before I took any lead jobs. So it really helped me prepare for management. Because those, I keep calling them kids, but I mean, to me, they are kids, right?
Yeah, they'll always be kids.
Young adults.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wrangling and a lot of motivating, and it's all about setting up goals for them and trying to help them to reach those goals. And it really isn't any different from managing junior or professional artists. I felt very in very similar shoes. When I finally made that jump to lead, just seeing that slight change in, well, these students are actually getting paid now, right, professionally. But it was a lot of just people skills that I learned through the school system to achieve, you know, what our next milestone is. It was very similar. Like I had a hard time kind of separating the two. So the teaching opportunities really, really helped me with that.
Being a manager myself with like over 25 people, I find myself doing a lot of teaching as well. Mm-hmm. So that everyone's on the same page, everyone's achieving the same things. Like it's definitely teaching and leadership kind of go hand in hand for sure.
Yes, yes. And that helped me a lot through awesome. my career. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you. But it is also one of those things that, you know, it's a working theory, like going through school, like Larry and I going through school, you know, there's always pockets of students, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always that 10% of students that really excel. And although, you know, I try to shape the class so that it caters to the younger, the students that are struggling, to at least give them a leash to kind of, if they want to step up, they can, right? I don't want to count them out. But it sometimes does funnel to like who's trying and who wants to succeed. And it's great to kind of just see even one succeed out of 30 and really push it to the next level, you know. So it was trial and error in a lot of semesters. Yeah. And it was really a great experience. And I recommend all professionals to go back and teach. And maybe that is our leeway to the main meat of this topic. So Larry.
Yeah. So, sure. Before we get into the juice and dirt, like I do want to shout out my experience as well. Cause Monica, you weren't able to attend our GDC party, but you did give your ticket to a student who was a former student of mine, Ray. And then also another student of mine, Hanway, showed up, and like, it was so good to see both of them. They both were like super hardworking, very dedicated, and like they listened to everything that you said, took feedback and criticism like it was like gold, even though you're like, oh man, this isn't good, and here's why. But the here's why was gold, and they really improved and like became excellent professional level. I can't call them students anymore, but they were students, right? Seeing them and like just having that moment of like, I remember when you were a snot-nosed, like just barely out of high school kid, and look at you now, you know, so that's probably always going to be the most rewarding thing about teaching for me. I would like to start with the first juicy topic is the headache of teaching. Mm-hmm. Is when you go to AI, I'll say that,
and there's God, just like anything
please,
else.
Please jump in if you relate, you know, like it's church, just say amen. One of the hardest things is like, you know, you go home and you do all these lesson plans and mm-hmm. you create these assignments and you get all the resources ready to like have this lesson. Like you're spending hours of your time to do this and you show up and like you're giving out this gold. It's like, I know that this is helpful because I'm on the other side. I'm where you want to be. And I'm giving it to you now in a safe environment. And you're over there playing Candy Crush, like my dog, you know, like that can't fly. You know what I mean? And like, they think they're so slick. They try every other alt tab, you know, like try to sit way in the back. One of my biggest, and then they ask all kinds of questions when like it's time to actually do the work. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. It was one of my biggest pet peeves is I give it to you for free when everyone's doing it, you ignore it. And then now when it's time to do the work and get your grade, you're like extra excited about office hours or like, teacher, please extra spend credit. 30 minutes. Oh, yeah.
Can I please have extra credit? Yeah, it's not going to help you.
Yeah, so students listening, don't be that student. Monica, please.
I mean, I think that's always the thing about teaching is that you do have like these amazing students that just make your life so much easier. But then you spent like 80% of your energy trying to motivate the ones that are like not as motivated. So you can't help but wonder, you know, am I a good teacher or am I not? Because, you know, you really want to reach everybody. And I remember one instructor say like, hey guys, you know, if someone gave you lottery ticket and it's a winning lottery numbers, would you play it? Because right now I'm giving you lottery numbers and you guys aren't playing it. And I can tell you, you're going to win gold. You know? So it's, it's about, and that's the challenge about teaching is what type of methods can you do and react and change so that you can keep them engaged, keep them motivated, but also just also be realistic, but not too easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a balance. And that's what makes education so challenging. Like, for example, for me, I mean, I've hopped around jobs. I was in graphic design. I was in commercial work. All that stuff just kind of bored me. But education, it is always challenging because no matter what, something's going to pop up. There's going to be some family emergency. I mean, that's legit. But most of the time, it's just like, you know, you're coming up with a lot of excuses not to do the work. Can we do you? Let's just try to cut through all the BS and then all the excuses and find out what the real issue is, which is, do you really want to do this? You know, and that's a hard question to ask. And then it really opens up a conversation of, hey, you know, if this is really what you want to do, then why are you playing Candy Crush in the back? You know, like this is a very competitive field. You need to be on top of it. So, yeah, but it takes time to get to that point.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't even get to that point until way later, but you try.
Yeah. Like educators play such a pivotal role in everybody's lives. Like, you're basically a life coach. Like when they're ready to make major decisions, if they're willing to listen, you know, some powerful moments can come out of that. Mm-hmm. And I found that a lot with students when I was teaching at a physical school where, you know, some of them were, pre-neo, right? They haven't been woke yet. So it's a lot of it's just woking people up. Am I using that right?
Yeah. The blue pill or the green.
Yeah, we gotta wake people up.
They needed that taste of reality. They were still.
Yes, I mean, if they listen and they follow through, it's a really impactful moment for a lot of these students, and educators are at the forefront of that. And I think the difference when I was mentioning how managing students and professionals are similar, that would be probably the biggest difference because as a professional, you kind of, he's like, yeah, whatever. I'll go on a five. You know, you're not really changing anybody's lives. Right. It's more like just do this better or not. Right. But you're not, they're not going to sit through a coaching session from you, even if you're a lead, right. It's like, get the F out of here. But a student, you know, they're still in those early years where they're malleable enough and willing to listen and take advice, and some real changes can be made. And in our industry or anything, I feel there's a lot of law students who kind of fell into this because they're not good at math or something. It's kind of like words, the default. Yeah. Yeah. It's like they're in that corner and they're like, I'm not good at anything else. So let's just give games a shot. And so, you know, unfortunately, that's not how the industry works. And it's a really tough industry to kind of gamble with that type of money to kind of see if you maybe like it or not. Right. So more often than not, where I see myself talking to students who are so in debt, but like not really thinking it through on how to get out of that situation. It's like, you are so far in the hole. Like I'm. looking down on you and I can barely see you anymore. It's like, make a decision already, you know?
Yeah.
I think what would help AI or any just school that's like, hey, you're going to pay $100,000 or more, is like every start of the quarter or semester, especially if you're taking student loans, you should get like a future payout estimate of like, okay,
I do that now.
Yeah, based on how many classes you've taken, it's going to cost you X amount per month to repay your loan for the term, 30 years, 15
years. It's not just kids, it's like adults. Even adults jump in there. They're just like, well, I'm just going through. And it's like, no, seriously, you're going to be paying like 500, maybe 800 a month.
They need to see it.
That definitely helps.
And actually, AI was actually considered one of the cheaper ones in comparison to like CalArts. Did you see the article with CalArts? According to the article, there's like a little tiny riot going on over there because they're increasing their tuition by 4 or 5%. Again, I'm paraphrasing. I don't have the article.
Ooh, that's a huge number, man.
And at the end, after 4 years, they, with housing and books and everything, it's about
$340,000.
So now they're trying. They're little. They're
house like a petition. Or college.
Exactly. And it's a petition where it basically says that the people that are made this college famous, they wouldn't even go to that college if they were in that situation. So it's really, you know, it's really intense. It's a good college. It's considered one of the best.
Sure.
But 340, I mean, that's, I think, more than a doctor. I have no idea.
No, you're never going to make that money back. Not in 10 years.
That's robbery. That's extortion.
Yeah. I don't know, if maybe they do scholarships and all that stuff that helps like reduce that, which is some of the more expensive colleges have a tendency to do. But I don't know. It just seems really high. So yeah, AI was actually considered cheaper, but it's still expensive. It's still like $100,000.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a huge educational student debt loan crisis, right? I mean, that for years they've been saying that's the next after the housing crisis, you know, student debt loan is at the forefront of that. And I feel with the art schools, especially, they're even in the front lines of that, you know, because we it's such a mystery, you know, not a lot of universities offer a track. So I think a lot of times at least the bad schools really take advantage of that. And unfortunately, students don't know any better.
More universities are offering
starting to.
So that's actually, I think, one of the reasons why AI was starting to lose students was because there was other options. Like even community colleges are offering arts and you know, colleges. So anybody who's thinking about going to college, you might want to consider trying to get rid of some gen eds and stuff like that in a community college.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
1,000%.
Yeah.
If I could, you know, spend $15,000 and get the first year and a half of my schooling done at community college and the credits transfer to save like $60,000 to $70,000 in going into like a higher level education program where really all I care about is my major related classes, 10 times out of 10, I would do that.
But that's after the fact, right? When you're 18 years old, getting out of high school, you know, like how do you find out this information that you can, what is an articulation agreement, right? I learned about that stuff when I became, you know, a department head, right? And then I was just like, what's that? You know, because I went directly to a university. I didn't go through community college. So just in case nobody knows, or you may know, but articulation agreements are actually documentation that says if you take this class at a community college, it will transfer to another college. And they all have contracts. Some of them do, not all of them. But if you're interested in a particular college that you want to go to, you need to check the community college and see if they have an articulation agreement. Probably the best way to go.
You probably just save $50,000 for a lot of people just right there.
Well, I mean, it's up to them. Then comes the quality, guys. comes like you're paying for a community college. You're going to be surrounded. Just a warning. You're going to be surrounded by people from all walks of life in a community college. You're not going to be surrounded by high schoolers that want to learn how to do this stuff for a living, are super passionate. You know, you're going to be surrounded by veterans. You know, somebody's grandma who's just curious about animation. You know, it's like just be aware that sometimes you pay for what you get.
So. Yeah. I'm always in conflict because I love my experience at my school, because obviously I made some lifelong friends, right? I'm pointing at Larry. He's not pointing back at me. I'm not thinking.
It'll just look weird if I just like.
Hey, pointing.
You gotta throw one at me sometimes. But that's like, obviously there are online alternatives right now, but there's never going to be a way to kind of replace that. Like the, just being able to sit next to an artist, because, you know, Larry and I are even trying to do this indie thing. And a lot of it's just through the interwebs, right? Mm-hmm. Just working on our game apart. But like, you know, there's a certain energy that we feed off each other, just being next to each other. And that's what I remember a lot from my college days, right? I feel like that's hard to replace, and it's irreplaceable, to be honest.
Can't replicate it.
And these schools are a perfect opportunity for that. Like, there's a reason why indie developers are trying to get a community going in every parts of America, right? Just to meet up once a week, because to kind of get that connection, but feed off the energy to kind of propel them to their next goal, right? And I think colleges, especially if you're jumping into it right after high school, helps kind of create that idea, right? Mm-hmm. And if you skip that step, you kind of miss the value of that. And it's already close. Like, everyone's working the closet already, right? As what our profession is. So I feel like if you just jump right into the closet without knowing, you know, the benefits of working with next to each other, I guess that might affect the social aspect of being a game developer, which is already an all-time low, in my opinion. It's all through tweets now. So
I think that's the number one benefit of going to a college is your connections. Like, I know that, I don't know which one got the job first, but one of you got the job and probably helped the other one get a job, or, you know,
it was definitely me.
He said definitely. He means because he has a great
memory. It was me.
Because of his memory.
Because of my memory. And my great, great friend.
Kaelin Shaw.
Yeah. I reached out to him. Like the way I said, I made good friends, and he never reached out to me back. So,
we should bring him in here. That'd be amazing. By the way, Kaelin was like worked for us too. Yeah.
He was like one of our first big guests, by the way, on this podcast. Kaelin, really?
He was our first guest.
He was the first guest.
Yeah. He was our second episode.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I gotta listen to that.
Yeah.
So connection wise, yeah, college is, I mean, seriously, that's where I made my connections. That's where students make their connections. And then one of them gets in, and then it's just, you know, it takes you on. It's very hard to reproduce that online. They are, I think you're right. They are growing networks, but you know, some of these, it's, you know, they're kind of shy.
It's just different. It's very different.
And it's, you put yourself out there is really hard, but in a school is actually considered like a safe space. You know, that's where you learn. That's where you can make mistakes. That's where your creativity can blossom, you know, and then you learn the truth about the industry and how you got to meet the deadlines. And it's not about your journey. It's about the project, you know, things like that. So, but yeah, I mean, how many times have you guys heard of stories where, you know, somebody gets a job and they get everybody else and they get their friends in?
So I mean, that's the way it still works. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still works. All my best friends that I really hang out with and talk to still are college friends.
Yeah.
Like, I've made friends along the way, of course. But, you know, you're like, what do you call it, Larry? A shovelware?
That's based on referrals. Like, most companies
it's are all referrals.
Yeah. Referrals. Yeah. So you need to make friends that can get in for sure.
Yeah. All the, like, our tight circle of people who we were cool with in college, and you kind of knew, like, this person's got the work ethic, they've got the attitude, I would work with this person. Not only that, I would recommend this person. All those people who ever fell into that box for me are, like, fully employed and have been employed for the past X years since college. So
I have students that are getting jobs before they even graduate. So I have to offer online classes so they can graduate. But yeah, I mean, they're just, I mean, big companies, like one of them just got hired by Leica. I was like, what? Yeah. So off to Portland in the snow. So it's, yeah, I mean, and he's a huge contact, you know, and it's like that everywhere. So it's all about the people, you know, especially when you start coming and higher. I think at the, maybe as an associate, not so much, but when you get to the leadership positions, I think that's really applies. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I got some gossip that we can discuss.
Oh, wow.
It's not really gossip. So I read like two, it's fact, but 2 weeks ago, right? Because I actually taught at this campus, the North Hollywood campus of AI. And that, like, the day of, they informed the students. I don't know, Larry, if you heard about this. They informed the students the day of that the place is closing.
Ooh. Yeah. Because I worked in AI for, like, I think 7 years, I knew a lot of people that were still there. So it was very traumatic for everybody. It was, I mean, it's it was a huge impact on me. Because, you know, like, at least give them, usually they give you a warning to let you teach out, they transfer, they close the online section. So usually online was the way that they could finish. So these, but I don't know if you guys know what happened, but Argosy, which is the umbrella company that bought the Art Institute, or were part of this whole thing, it lost its ability to get Title IV funding, which is financial aid. And once that happens, I mean, there's no way you can run a school. Yeah. So it shut the doors within 2 days. No severance packages, just let people.
This episode is made possible by Quixel.com. Be sure to check them out for photogrammetry assets and textures. If you're in the studio, if you are part of a bigger studio, you want to use this tool set to be among the best. They are behind this year's GDC Unreal Rebirth demo that is catching a lot of buzz and waves out there. Be sure to check that out to see the power of using Quixel.com for all your texturing and photogrammetry asset needs. Please use our special code GDU10 to get the first year 30% off. Again, that's GDU10 at checkout at Quixel.com.
You know, I thought there was like a religious company that bought it, like Dream or something.
It's called Dream Center. So you know how for profits get a bad rep? Well,
no.
The Art Institute literally said, or Argosy really was like, hey, well, if that's a Dream Center is willing to buy us. So again, this is all just like things that I've read. Who knows how accurate I am?
Gossip, baby.
I have not a report. I have no clue. You can just read it online. But you know, Dream Center was a nonprofit, so they purchased it. And so AI and the Argosy institution was nonprofit, and you know, which puts, I guess it's just a different tax bracket. So yeah, I mean, I think it was religious, but yeah, it was run under a religious organization, but I don't think it influenced the actual business side itself.
Right. Well, at least God wasn't open that day.
It was so sad. There was like,
a lot of students, and everybody was like,
walked out. Like two students get arrested in Hollywood.
Yeah, there was like a big strike.
Yeah,
that was a really nice camp. I love that campus.
Hollywood was great.
A lot of students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
AI is just, oh my God.
Yeah, it's there's still two left. Chances in Atlanta, I think, but
that's it.
Yeah.
Out of the whole thing,
out of a hot, it was like how many?
It was everywhere.
It was everywhere. It was like 60 campuses all over the country, and Argosy too. Argosy got shut down too.
Yeah,
it's really
how are people in Atlanta and Texas looking at this and be like, oh, we're cool.
You know, this is Game
Denial
of Thrones.
Is a beautiful thing.
This is Game of Thrones, right? Every other campus has been invaded and killed by the White Walkers, and these two, this Winter's is like coming. The Lannisters who are like, oh, hey. Poppycock! I don't believe it.
Hey, those guys died so that we can have those resources to strengthen.
I honestly don't know how these guys survived. The ones who are surviving got bought by somebody. Mm-hmm. That's some company that's willing to just like buy them. Mm-hmm. So
I can see the Texas one withstanding it, because that's a huge community of developers right there. Mm-hmm. But Atlanta is like,
I don't remember if it was Atlanta. It's somewhere in the East Coast.
Okay. The interesting anything in the East Coast.
I know. If I look at it where we have 60 different schools worth of students who are applying for, you know, full-time education, I'm assuming a decent amount of them are also getting room and board. 60 campuses now going down to 2. If those kids were willing to move and take room and board, I can see why there's 2 that still survive, right? Like, you already have like a plethora of students who are willing to fill 60 schools worth of students.
Well,
with room and board.
Went at the peak. Then it started shutting down, like things like satellite campuses, like satellite. This has been a slow death. Then came the Sunnyvale and satellite campuses. Then started going for bigger campuses like LA. Yeah. And then they started to, and then out of nowhere, like seriously, I was really surprised when they decided to just pull the plug. Yeah. It was very surprising. Mm. So just as a cautious to anybody who might have been in the situation for the Art Institute, just don't panic. I would highly recommend, I have a couple of points here just so I can emphasize it. I would highly encourage anybody who went to the Art Institute for Education to order at least 4 official transcripts and a 5th one to open and scan in. I'm not sure how challenging it's going to be to get official transcripts now that all the art institutes are closing. So I recommend that you go ahead and order at least 4 and don't open them, but order a 5th. So you can open it and scan it in case you need it. Just, you never know when you need those things.
So they didn't even give a way for students to kind of move on. Was that what was the situation there?
I'm not 100% sure. I wasn't on the ground when this happened. So,
next time, Monica.
I know there's emails out there that you can email. I think there's maybe something in the website, but, it's like, I think a lot of them were left really confused because some that had one quarter left. They were almost there. Some of them were taking 6 classes to try to finish and it was gone. I mean, it's brutal. It's not a good thing.
That would be the time a slacker would actually be winning. It's
like, I haven't been doing shit all year. Who's the king?
Who's the king? Gave myself an A+. Oh my God. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I look at it as a barometer for change though, right? Like, regardless of how well they ran their business, I know that we have 58 schools worth of students that are now displaced who likely at least want to do something with their lives in the entertainment medias, right? That's why they went or cooking or fashion design or whatever. That's why they went to Art Institute in the first place. So if anybody's laughing about this and taking advantage, I would say it's online schooling who, like, we don't have brick and mortar. We don't have room and board. We literally just have instances of classes that anybody can take from anywhere, get the education, pay way less. You know what I mean? This isn't a commercial, by the way. This is just me observing with a business hat on. It's like, it's a total, like, it makes 100% sense to me where, like, all right, my industry isn't, diploma driven. It's portfolio driven. Mm-hmm. So if you can show me that you can do the work, you have just as much of a shot as the person who graduated, but who could also do the work. You know what I mean? I'm never going to be like, oh, sorry, awesome ass artist who lives down the street. I'm going to hire this other guy that has the AI graduate, portfolio and diploma, because that diploma means something here. Like, no, they want to know who's the best. We hire that person and we want them now, you know?
Yeah. It's a weird time. Like, I'm still very confused by it because before we even went to school, Larry, like, there was definitely a uptick, right? Where people were discovering that you can do this as a career. That's what I felt our class was like.
Yep.
And then a lot of schools started to, like, oh man, there's a lot of people with interest, and a lot of schools are starting to form. So I feel now like there are less opportunities for students to go to schools when there's more students interested more than ever. Like, Fortnite have made us into like a
rock stars, man.
Rock star phenomenon.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about games. Therefore, you know, their interest in game dev is only like a step away. Mm-hmm. But right now we're at a place where these schools are just like, plummeting for other reasons rather than just, you know, for students wanting to learn. And even with these online schools as an alternative, like I still go back to like, man, those memories that I've had has been, it's great to go to a local school and actually hang out with people for real. Right. And I think the referrals actually work better off of that versus comment 269. You know, like, oh, this guy actually has good artwork. Let me, Rick. It's not the same, you know, it's like, I've seen your picture a couple of times and your artwork. I know you're good. But, you know, you're less likely to put your neck out for that person if you never really hung out with them, right? And yeah, that's a big missing component right now. Yeah.
I know he does great work, but...
Yeah, I don't know. He might be weird. Like, he does a thing with his ears once in a while. It's like, oh, my God.
Social hours, because...
Yeah, never see that. Like, if I were to judge through referrals by work alone from the students that I actually went to school with, right? And Larry knows my list, right? Like, including the guy that stole my work. Like, if I just looked at his work, right in front of me, right? this is like retro GDU episode where I talked about this, where a student, when I was a student, we were in a little group pitch. We pitched to each other before we did present the class. He went up before me. He took my pitch. Right, that was my idea. Pitch my game, and everybody's like, "That's a great idea," and he sat back down like everything was cool. So, I mean, he made my list that day. I'm doing way better than him. But if I were to sit down and look at the portfolio right now, and I didn't have that type of interaction, I was like, "Oh yeah, he's actually a cool guy."
Right.
But because I have that history with him, he will burn.
It helps the weeding out process.
The weeding out process is so much better. It's a weird time.
Online definitely has a place. It's going to be very hard to figure out that social aspect of it, because unless you guys actually hang out like something like this, it's challenging to recommend somebody to actually know what their tics are. For all you know, they're just, you know, who knows? You just don't know who they are for real, but their art is good. So it's that's something that college does give you. It also gives you, you know, it's like, do you want to be a gear or do you want to be a leader? That's always like my thing. It's like, if you just want to learn the tools and just create great art, okay. But I mean, don't forget the general educations. I know most of us don't like them, but they do make us into a well-rounded person. You know, like when you take that history of animation, or if you take criminology, or if you take any of that, it makes you somebody that can make decisions and design choices and level choices or whatever it is, and then actually create informative decisions versus just kind of, well, I saw it. It was in YouTube. It was cool. You know? Yeah, so I think if you want to be a real leader that can make intelligent decisions and that support your idea, then, you know, education is probably a good way to go. So, I mean, it's something that you have to kind of debate on, especially now that there's so many options. It's like, you can do YouTube Academy, you know, but YouTube Academy is free, but I mean, it's, have you seen many videos out there? Good luck sifting through all that. Because in the past, 10 years ago, like 15, we didn't have anything. We had digital tutors, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe some Gnomon DVDs that cost too much money. Yeah, but now,
$80 a class.
We spend so much money trying to learn all these things. Now, the internet has so much information that it's almost impossible to sift through. Like, where do you go? So you go to online or you go to school to be able to, so they can guide you in much more clear path. Mm-hmm. And you're more than welcome to do it on your own, but it's going to take you forever to just kind of sift through all the stuff that's out there.
And if you have no guide, you know, you don't know what's wrong information, what's good information, which is, you know, there's a lot of wrong information out there. But like, to kind of touch on more of the social aspect, like in an interview we go, it's like 50% of your work, but 50% personality. And judging from the last mixture, well, not our mixture particularly, but judging from our GDC experience every year, and even our recent one, you know, students have a weird way to approach. you can smell a student a mile away.
You can smell them.
It's like, they're hungry. I'm Larry, the student, right? And what's your LinkedIn? Expert, do you have your LinkedIn? do you have your LinkedIn profile? Can I connect with you right now? It's like, no, get away from me. I'm in the middle of like, I haven't seen my friend for 7 years. You know, he just lost his leg. Give me a sec, you know, but like students don't have those cues. And I'm very worried about future online students going to these events and just have no idea how to function. And I've seen, I can only see that escalate. It's like, you're so weird.
What's very interesting about what you say, man, is like, let's just break that down to just life, social situations that they just missed out on in general.
Yes.
Right. I think I'll say I lived a privileged life in the sense that I was in many different communities around many different types of people for my whole life. So being able to like mix and match and intermingle with different social groups is something that comes natural to me. And that's something that I would say is an advantage in a situation like I'm a student. Yes, but I'm not going to go out there salivating at an opportunity to shake this guy's hand where he can clearly see that like, oh my God, like get away from me. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people in our industry, I don't even want to generalize this way, but I am for the example to make on this podcast. I know that there's a lot of people who maybe kept to themselves, very introverted, like my art school. I would say there was a lot of students who were very individualistic, kept to themselves, did their own thing, didn't really talk much, didn't really express themselves much, didn't know how to join groups and communicate well with groups of people. And because they did that and that made them feel comfortable, it was hard for them to go outside of that and network. You know what I mean? Because networking is literally getting them to do the opposite of what makes them feel comfortable. And it's always just tough. And I felt bad seeing like, yep, there he is standing in the corner, not giving out business cards or talking to people, you know, not being excited about an opportunity to talk to these pro devs, hoping that one is just going to come up, drop a job and then walk away. Because that never happens.
Never. And it's so funny, Brandon, because I just wanted to applaud that student that asked you for your LinkedIn, because you have any idea how hard it is for them to actually, like, they'll just give business cards away. Like it's, you know, here, here, here. And they feel like they did, that's enough. But really, like, that doesn't give you any power. Like you have to get the business cards or the LinkedIn profile so you can at least have some sort of connection later. Because otherwise you're just waiting for them to come back. So I know it's a pain for you, Brandon, but I'm just so proud of that one.
It's good. I don't know who he is. I haven't followed up, but there's like a right approach and a wrong approach. That's the thing. You got to butter me up before you take me out on a date. You know,
wine and dine, please.
Wine and dine. It's as easy as just treat me like a human being, you know, just be respectful. Absolutely. It's like, if you are interested. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, GDC is obviously the place to do so. It's perfect. But the way these students are approaching professionals, I feel like more and more every year, like have no idea how to. Yeah. And that's like a social learning aspect where I feel like online schools won't teach you. Are you kidding me? It's like, I know something really well.
That's going to be like, dude, you can't do that. Like I've had conversations where I'm like, that's not right. You can't, you gotta get rid of those cat ears.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Sorry. You can wear them in school, but I'm going to put my mean hat on here and tell you
that. It's going to be it needs multiple interaction to, first of all, us teachers to be able to sniff that out. It's like, whoa, what are you doing? You do this thing. When you talk to people, it's like, you shouldn't do that.
You're being a little aggressive. You need to
a little too aggressive.
Emails. I'm like, that is not how you write an email. Like that's the thing about college is that it teaches you all of these social cues and how to like professionalism that high school, I think, don't do anymore.
No, high school's dead. Oh my God. I can't imagine walking to high school now. Everybody on their phones. Oh, no, I can't.
I honestly don't know. But the only thing I can see is from a college view is that we actually had to create a professionalism class. It's not called that, but something like that, where we teach them, hey, this is how you properly write an email.
Yeah.
Like, dear professor, you know, Charles, you know, like just like something polite. Hey, what's up? I need this. Like, no. You got to butter them up saying, I hope you're having a wonderful day. So I have a question about blank, you know, like just things like that. So,
man, Larry, I almost want to do like a spoof podcast where we teach like all the wrong things. It's like, hey, if you just reached out to a person and they haven't responded, that means they haven't got it. So make sure you follow up with another email until they finally respond.
The magic number is 40. Usually 40 emails is what it takes.
Yeah.
That's what I know you're really committed.
I'll admire that.
Like, I came up with this metaphor a while back in school to try to tell students like the key way of networking. I tried to come up with an example that like puts it in perspective. And I will always tell the kids, the person you're talking to has $10 in their hand and you're trying to ask them for their $10, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what it's like to have 10 bucks in their hand. And everyone knows what it's like to have somebody be like, hey man, can I have some money, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to say every single person, but if that's the approach, like, hey man, can I have some money? Usually like, no, I'm not giving you this thing of value. You just walked into my life. You don't care that I'm going to be giving you this 10 bucks. You just care that you're getting 10 bucks. You know what I mean? At least make it mutually beneficial, if anything. At least let me know that I'm investing the 10 bucks, not just giving the 10 bucks. So that's what Monica means and Brandon means about what is your relationship? Have you built rapport? Butter me up. Make me invested in you somehow, some way. And the key way to do it is not interrupting me with my friend who just lost his leg while we're trying to like recommunicate with each other out of 10 years to be like, hey, you work at the company I want to work for. I love to draw anime and Dragon Ball Z. Here's my card. Give me a job.
I actually created three training videos that you can find for free on my website. And it's literally like about like how to make networking, because really the trick is, like, you don't ask for a job to a stranger, like ask for those $10, which is what you're really asking for is 90,000. But like what you need to do is more like ask them for feedback, and then it's not so intimidating, you know? And that's kind of like the key that I've been asking my students to do is like, don't go over there. They know that you're hungry. They know you want the job. Like, they know it's like, but they're not going to give it to you. So you really got to approach it in a way of like, hey, can I, do you mind if you take a look at my portfolio and think if it's worth it? Then you can start building a bridge. And then once you build that bridge, you can like maybe become friends. And guess what happens? You transfer, you help your friends get jobs, you know? So you can't just, you know, ask them and assume they're going to get a job or anything. It's like, you really got to kind of work on your social skills and your networking to be able to get that position.
Yeah. Oh my God. You totally.
Yeah.
You totally gave me this inside piece of trickery for networking that I just came up with while you're talking. So like, I come up to you and ask for feedback, right? I show you my portfolio. And
this is cool. What I've come up with. And it's so far it's been working.
And this is exactly what I would do, right? Like to co-sign, I'm going to co-sign. I show my portfolio and I'm like, hey, look, I'm just looking for feedback. You work at a place I want to work for one day, which means you're familiar with what they do and what they would expect. I would just love to hear what you have to say on what I've done so far. Right.
Where do you see weaknesses? Where can I take my next steps to lead towards a position like that, what you have? And then that way you're not begging, you're making connections. You'll get real authentic feedback. And if they say no, that's okay. But most people are willing to help students, you know, like, because you're learning, because we were all students like not too long ago. So we sympathize.
So continuing on with the example, right? Like they're like, okay, cool, sure. And they give you feedback, right? One, you should already appreciate that because they've given you time to like, they could have been doing anything for themselves, but they did something for you, a stranger who just so happened to have a portfolio to show them. So like already appreciate that. What I will say is I get the feedback, I take it and I update something and at least show them that they didn't waste their time.
Please follow through. Send that thing
back. Exactly.
Follow through. You can't be like, great, thank you. And then nothing. Like, no, you better turn in something and like pretend this is an assignment. This is your homework, and turn it in 2 or 3 weeks. Get the changes. Even if it's just small, you need to make changes and say like, hey, I took your advice for heart. And I mean, that's a big deal.
And then butter them up one last time. Like, wow, you were really right about my lighting, or you were right about my proportions. After doing what you said, I noticed improvement. I really want to thank you. Right. Yes. Now the other person's like, I gave them feedback. It was critical. They took it well. And I also see improvement based on what I told this person.
Exactly.
They think at least 2 levels higher of you than they did previously.
Exactly.
They might be more willing to give you the $10 now because they kind of have invested in you when it didn't cost them any risk. So now there's more assurance that if they ever did have to say, you know what, I know this junior, he could probably do the job, because they know you, they've talked to you, they gave you feedback, and then you have improved even in that little bit of time. They have more faith to believe that you would be somebody who could potentially be that junior, that associate, and bring you in, versus the other person who's still doing the, hey, I want to work there, give me a job.
Right.
Oh my God, please.
So the other approach after that second step of getting feedback and thanking them would be like, hey, I saw that this position's available. Do you think I would be a good fit? Mm-hmm. And that's it. You don't say, hey, I want the job or anything. You just ask them, hey, do you think my portfolio, is it good enough for this type of position? And then you wait for the yes and the no. And if it's a no, then take that as a hint that you need to work more. Or if it's a yes, then you can ask, do you mind if I put your name down as a referral?
Yeah.
And there you go. It is a long wine and dine process, but it's a process that will get you a lot further than, hey, man, I know you're talking to your legless friend there, but it's going to be my friend soon, right? In LinkedIn, you know, can I get you a lot? So it's a longer process, but it's a process that will work. It's not aggressive. It's not intimidating. It's a nice way of handling it. Just remember that if they say no, you know, don't get upset. It's just that you don't know what's going on in their life.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have something going on. There's always life going on. So just give them an opportunity to, you know, if they haven't responded in 2 weeks, you can nudge a little bit and be like, hey, just checking in. And after the third time, that's it. Consider it done and then move on.
My biggest problem I've had with students networking that I can recall is something that, like, in regards to it happening to me, mm-hmm. is I've always felt like, I get it. You want the job. You're hungry for the opportunity, but I don't owe you. You know what I mean? You're not the only person who's asked me to do this.
Right.
So like if somebody on the career end gets in a position where they're a prominent artist or a prominent designer or a prominent anything, can you imagine every time they go to a trade show or a convention, how many people, even if you do it the nice way, have asked them like, hey, could you look at my portfolio and can you tell me like what's up?
Right.
Let's assume they do that 4 times a month. Right. If they say no to you, it's not a personal thing. Like, don't get mad and flip out. That, like,
trying to hurt your feelings.
You suck. Yeah. You're an asshole. You don't care about the students. Like, no, I care about the other 4 students who have already asked me to do this, and I'm doing it for them. And then I have my own job and responsibilities and life on the side that I'm trying to maintain. I've helped 4 people already. I'm kind of feeling a little burnt out from giving the free portfolio advice right now. So as a student, understand that, like, when you get someone to say yes, treasure it. When someone says no, that's okay. Like, nobody owes you that. You know what I mean? You have to understand that, like, you're not the only person on the planet whenever you're asking somebody to do something for you. You have no idea what's going on their end. So
it's true.
Yeah.
Just keep trying. That's why you go to conventions, is to meet that person, because face-to-face means a lot more than just, well, online's actually pretty cool because you get to reach out to multiple people like at once, but that personal, it's really hard to say no in person. Yeah. So, you know, just be friendly,
for
just
some
be
people. Nice, don't be weird.
Yeah, just don't be weird.
So, I can say no in multiple languages.
Dude, Brandon leaves his out of work, like out of on vacation office email reply on 24/7, like even when he's there.
Larry had this because we were doing interviews, at Shares GDC.
Oh man.
And Larry's just a natural magnet for conversation, right? And like a lot of the times, like, man, GDC people, they could talk, right? Some people just talk. And so I was teaching him how to like just turn around and like, and just slipply. You know,
there's an art to
end the conversation to not make it so weird.
Yeah, sometimes in my office, I'm just gonna get up and just start walking away, like, you can follow me. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye. And then I just go back to my office, off.
Monica takes 4 rights, 4 right turns,
basically,
and loses them at the 3rd one.
Mm. I mean, it's
part of
time
it.
Time is money.
It's part of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, these are just skills that, most you just got to learn it through experience and life, really. I mean, like, Monica, like, it's admirable that, you know, this is part of the lecture. I think it's not enough, to be honest, because it really is like part of the job is 50%. Can you do the work? 50% is personality. With engineers, it's a complete opposite. Like, I think I mentioned this before, but I think it's a sledgehammer. Like, everyone had like a interview seminar, like every discipline. And the way the engineers seminar was completely different to how the artists and designers would interview. And when like we were mixing in the room together, like asking questions together, you know, the creatives basically were outlining like, oh yeah, you know, once they get in, you know, we know they do good work, but we really want to get to know them. Like, can I work with them? Can I
have fun with them?
Can I have fun with them? Can I have a beer with them? And the engineer is just looking at in their like deadpan zombie attitude, right? Where like, why do I care? Like, can they do the work or not? You know, who cares if I like them or not?
So
that's a very stark contrast to like the disciplines, but
you know, more, who the leaders are the ones who can talk.
Yes.
Social, and they're the ones that are like, oh, I can communicate with the artists and everybody. I like to drink beer, and you know,
yes,
they stand out.
Yeah, mostly the creatives are about, you know, being able to hang out with that person. So like I said, like I've been part of what do you call it? The interview panels where we interview a person and we have that little meeting in the circle where I said, don't hire that guy. He was not weird. I was articulate, right? About like red flags, right? But those are things that I look for when I interview, because obviously if they've gotten through the door through the interview process, I know their work is good. Right. Everything else is personality and little.
Yeah, do they fit the culture?
Do they fit the culture? So it's not emphasized enough, I think, that part of the job, right? So hopefully people take note, students listening. Yeah.
Yeah, that sometimes you just don't fit the culture, and that's okay. You'll find a company that will.
Well, we'll learn too, hopefully.
Or if it's, you know, I mean, the hard part is actually going back to the HR rep or the recruiter and saying, can I please get honest feedback about the reason why I didn't receive the position? And if you're lucky, they'll actually tell you the reason why. Because we have actually, and this is in a different company altogether, but we actually did not hire a couple of people because they put on way too much cologne. Or like we were suffocating.
That's all it takes.
In the meeting room, and we couldn't wait for it to end.
Cologne bomb, dude.
But I mean, if they asked us, like, well, why didn't we hire this person? We're not going to tell them, you know. So, and who knows how many other opportunities are lost because of that? But if I saw them at a bar, I would tell them. You know, but in a professional setting, there's no way I would tell.
I get it. That feels like something that someone would try to make.
So try to see if you can find that honest opinion.
Right when I walked in, I was like, what the fuck?
It was awful. We were like,
do you not take a shower? What's going on?
Oh, they've just covered themselves in cologne. I don't know. I guess they thought they smelled good.
There's like a threshold for cologne, right? It's like two sprays smell good. Three sprays is like, don't you dare put any more. Four or more, it's like you're ruined. You're ruining it.
Run through. That's, you know, that's like the safest bet. I know it looks weird.
The only person I didn't say that you stank was when I shared a ride. I think I mentioned this before with the Eric Hirschberg, the ex-CEO of Activision. He was visiting our office, and man, the stank. We were what, on the eighth floor or something, Larry, right?
Oh my God.
Eight floors of like, bro, like how much cocaine and partying have you done this past week? There's no reason for you to smell. I know you're rich. What is going on?
I'm rich. It doesn't matter anymore.
Maybe that's the next level of power. That's the next level of power. It's like, hey, I know I stink. I'm going to see you dare to say something.
Yeah.
You're going to dare say something. I was like, what's up, Eric? Everything's cool, man.
Yeah. I'm glad I wasn't there.
Horrible. That was the only time I wouldn't say something. Because obviously he has the power to like get rid of me in a body bag and everything.
I had a story with him, but it's not as funny as that one. Like I think it was with you. I don't know. Remember, I was with someone at Sledgehammer, and I actually didn't recognize him. But this is when I was kind of new, and like I didn't know who Eric Hirschberg was. I was just getting my Call of Duty job, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, riding the elevator down. He was on the elevator with us, and we had just had a team meeting. And so I was just sitting there, like whoever I was talking to. I thought it was you, but my memory may not serve me correctly. But like, you know how after the team meeting, you then go what really was said at the team meeting, because you always get the spin, and then you have to like, okay, so like let's unpack what happened.
Round table after.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course. Like,
so he was just sitting there like listening weird. And like
giving like, feedback.
Let's process this together.
I've done some terrible. I've told you this, right? That I've had some bad foes. Like, you know, when, like, I think it was around 2K, right? And I was sitting across from my basically the executive producer, right? And it's funny enough. Even if she hears this, it'll be funny. You know, you can hear, well, it's a glass office, right? It's a small glass office. So I usually get the scoop way before the rest of the studio does based on body language, you know? So anytime that anyone that have a serious conversation, that's me like break time, right? I'm studying, right? I'm getting the scoop. I'm seeing what's going on. Why is she so mad? Why is he so gloom? What did he do? Like, that's my whole thing. And I would have my little intel network where I'm like, oh shit, you wouldn't believe what I just saw. You'll hear this next week at the next week's office. So this is after 2 weeks of crunching. So I was completely out of it, but obviously, you know, I need to make jokes still. And so this one time she was really railing it into this one of the leads, right? Just saying this and that, this and that. And I was like, oh man, she said this and that. Did you hear that? And then I closed it and something didn't feel right. So I opened it up again and it was directly to her. I DM'd her exactly in quotes what she said like 2 minutes ago. Oh. And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to get fired. What do I do? Like, I stood up and sat down more than ever before, not knowing what to do. And finally, like, all right. This is what I'm going to do.
That woke you up, I bet.
Well,
listen to this.
That woke me up. So I thought I was super slick, right? And so I doubled down on it, right? I added something else that wasn't something she said. Right. Was something that she said, but saying like as if someone said it, trying to kind of separate her conversation from something dude, it was super, what do you call it? Inception, right? It's multiple layers of lies. And finally, I gave it five, like I counted like a minute past. And it's like, oh, Alyssa, oh, you must have been wondering what I was saying. I this was meant for someone else. And then, you know, I still have my job.
And then I get fired.
He pulled a
Larry
David. Then
HR came in.
Some Larry David shit right there.
Yeah. Oh, don't message willy-nilly when you're crunching. That's just, like, I was so scared.
Be careful. We have all made mistakes like that. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah, you have to be professional.
That reply and then especially reply when you're exhausted. All being right next to each other.
Oh, man. Yeah, we've all done stuff. I don't even.
It happens all the time. Like even in Slack. I don't think he'll listen, but even in Slack today, somebody was gossiping, like name dropping gossiping in the wrong chat room. But this was to
everyone.
You know, well, not everyone, but everybody in the chat room at least. Oh, yeah. And so I opened it up. I was like, what is this? I read it. And immediately there was a new notice saying, oh, a new chat room was made and this one's being deleted. And so up pops the new one, same name, same everything. And the first response was from the guy is like, oh, you know, I made this public to everybody so everyone can join. That's why I closed the other one. I was like, oh, I'm super slick motherfucker. I know that move, man. I invented that move. But it happens. That's what happens. You get loose. You get loose in the office. You get very comfortable. Mm-hmm. But that's what I live for. I love those moments.
As long as it's not you. It's not,
even with me, that was a funny story, you know.
Well, someone at Pixar actually wrote I don't know what happened. I mean, you know, I have friends there, and this was years ago, but somebody wrote like their grocery list and accidentally sent it out to everybody. First of all, I don't understand how one person has access to like everybody's inbox, but so all day they were just responding back, don't forget the sour cream. And I feel so bad for them.
You gotta troll that. Oh, yeah. I used to be bad on that. I used to be so bad on that. Like, there are moments for Larry where I dug myself so deep where I called the person and said some stuff as a joke, but that person took it seriously. And I had to go back to like, oh, Larry, I think I said something too crazy. I was like, dude, you got to fess up or else it's gonna blow up later, right? And I was like, I think I'm going to take that chance. Thankfully, it hasn't blown up.
This is a practical joke. So bad.
Yeah.
This is so bad. Like,
so bad.
So messed up.
so messed up.
Oh man.
That was the last time I did something like that. That taught me a lot because I used to be the practical joker in the office, and I thought it was a joke all the way until it was like this guy was responding with like life information that I should not know. I was like, oh boy. Well, they could look with that butt. And I just
thought this guy. Look, Brandon will never catfish again. That's all I'll never, say. Never again. That's basically.
Never again. But I mean, those are great interactions.
Those are learning office. Moments. Yeah.
It's learning moments.
Yeah.
But like a lot of that is just, you know, just being around people. So, you know, to kind of hark back to all the social aspect of it, it's a huge part to know when the line is crossed, when messing with people or not, you know. But yeah,
well, that's true. You can't do practical jokes. Well, I guess you could online, but yeah,
it's different. It's like how many gifs can you drop? You know, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's not. Yeah.
Well, guys, I took a look at my stopwatch, and we've been podcasting for over an hour now. So, Monica, welcome to the club of people who have successfully done the full podcast. We have a gift for you. Yeah, let me just pull off this wrapping paper really quick.
Nice.
So, our gift to you is you're going to get to talk directly to our audience to shout
out. Wait, no fast five?
Oh, damn. You called me right out. Okay, I'll tell you.
All right.
You
what.
Here's what we got to do. You're exactly right. I had so much fun reminiscing.
I listened to your podcast. I've been thinking about this thing, and I'm like,
okay. Here's what we're gonna do. I'm not gonna withhold the awesomeness of the Fast Five, and I appreciate that you're looking forward to that. Let's do your shout out first, and then it gives me a second or two to do a Fast Five for you, and then we'll come back and do your Fast Five. Will that work for you?
Sure.
I actually do got to write this shit. Go ahead.
Are you coming up with questions now? All right. So you guys just want me to do a little like spiel? Yeah. Okay. So, guys, I know that just a couple of things, like I know we talked about social aspects and things like that. I do have a little something for you guys. I have my own YouTube channel, Academic Phoenix Plus. You guys may know me from there, but if you guys go to academicphoenixplus.com/unchained, you will find a video series about how to basically get a job in the industry. That includes professionalism, that includes how to cater to your portfolio, to the industry, and lots of questions that I hear from students who are in school, who are recently graduated, and how do you cater to this new industry that's really specific, looking for specific skills. So again, that's academicphoenixplus.com/unchained, and you can get some free, there's actually a free ebook, some videos, and lots of information. So hopefully that is going to be helpful for your success. So yeah, that's my thing. And for the ones at the Art Institute, I'm really sorry. But don't worry, there's a lot of opportunities out there. Keep going. There's a lot of great stuff out there for you. So never stop creating.
Well, thank you, Monica. Obviously,
thank you.
Larry's juicing it up with the five questions right now.
I know. Does he have a list? Is that what?
I do.
100 of them ready?
Just in time.
Nothing with names, because I'm like really bad with names.
They don't call it the Fast Five for nothing. I'm ready to go. I'm so glad you said that too. Like we cruised right on through the halfway point.
That's the one I've been thinking about. Like, what are they going to ask me? Something simple. Oh,
I got some good ones. I think I got some good ones, some decent ones. For 30 seconds of writing, I think we did pretty well. Question number one. And again, we track the time. So question number one, what was the first video game you ever purchased for yourself?
Final Fantasy VII.
Ooh, that's a good one. Question number two, the last time a movie made you mad.
Mad. What did I see that made me mad? Oh, great. I actually stopped watching movies. I've been watching shows. So can I say Black Mirror? Because it's way too realistic, you know, and it's just like, oh, we're getting there. I'm watching the news. Oh, wait, I can't talk about it because of being time. Go ahead.
Yeah, Black Mirror is like 2-3 years away from just being news.
Yes, exactly.
Question number three, favorite game that someone recommended you?
Horizon Zero Dawn.
I love that
game.
Yeah. Question number four. What console is going to win next generation? Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, or Google?
Google. Almighty Google.
Question number five. What is your least favorite 3D animation platform to animate with? Least favorite. Blender? Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh, I'm probably going to get so much hate from that. I have never seen such a community like Blender.
It's different. It's different now. Yeah, like even I was like the biggest hater until the last recent couple of years. Blender is just really stepping up. I think they're going to really...
They're going to be somebody soon. Like,
well, they are somebody. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Autodesk, right? Unless you want to sponsor us. Autodesk has been snoring for the last 2 years. Like, they haven't done anything. That's why Blender is so... Everyone's finally paying attention to the Blender.
And it's free. It's hard to be free.
If anything... You can create,
like, really high-quality stuff. Like, why wouldn't you choose that?
Mm-hmm. I was hoping that Blender was going to, like, force the hand of Autodesk to release something competitive and also similar in price. Kind of like the whole Unity Unreal thing. Unity free, then Unreal free.
Mm-hmm. No, they're going to milk that cow until it's done.
Autodesk.
Autodesk. Unless you sponsor us, and then we'll review our...
and then you'll pause the video and be like, hey, guys.
Our opinions.
I'm still going to be honest. I'm just going to cash the check. And
Autodesk is, you know, they absorbed everybody. So for all we know, they're going to absorb Blender.
They're the standard graphical platforms. Adobe and Autodesk, which one is going to win between the two? This is a bonus question because it's going to come down to those two at some point.
Adobe even versus right now, Autodesk?
Yeah, I have a feeling. Mark my words. There's going to be competition where one of them is going to try to buy, purchase, or acquire the other.
I think it's going to be Adobe that, if anything, I think Adobe should buy Blender. Actually, I just spoke with somebody from Adobe who was like in finance. He was telling me all this stuff and he was drunk, which is great. If you want to hear gossip from organizations, and find out what's going on in the back, just give them some beers and drinks or whatever they want. And then they'll just tell you all sorts of fun stuff. So yeah, they're looking for some stuff. So I think Adobe, if they're smart, they'll buy Blender. But Adobe, you know, they do subscription based, which is a pain in the neck, you know.
It's so old, such an old model. Yeah,
but it's
the new model, subscription based.
Mm-hmm. Not for programs. It's annoying now, man. It's like I don't own anything anymore.
It's all
you don't do any updates. It's just not.
Oh, you have to do updates because you might as well do updates because you're paying for it.
It's like, hey, we changed the logo to Photoshop this morning. It's like, come on.
$49.99.
Come on. That's why
I miss buying Photoshop and not being to upgrade until 3 years later where I know it made a big difference. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing with Adobe, right? Adobe, they like, oh, look, you can, for $60 a month, you can have the whole creative suite. All right, let's look at that. What the hell is InDesign? What is all this crap? Like, I'll never use any of this. I only want Photoshop and a few things, right? They just here's a truckload of stuff that you'll never use to kind of buff up that price. So that's why, like, in relation to like our Substance, you know, just got recently bought by Adobe.
Yes.
And that's like the biggest, a lot of people are half and half on that. It's like, oh shit. You know, because Substance has been like making major leaps since texturing in the last few years. Adobe hasn't. So the chances of Adobe becoming Substance attitude, the hipster changing things on the fly, is less than likely. But what they will change is slap that yearly subscription model.
And they changed the logo. It now says Substance, like with Adobe or something.
Oh my God.
So they did that upgrade already.
It's in the form of a price tag, right?
I'll tell you what. I'm highest level Adobe monthly member. Proud of it.
Oh, so I do it too. To get, are you kidding?
Free Substance.
Sure.
Not free, but
if you want to sponsor us, you might change your opinions.
Keep sliding that in there.
We're always looking to grow. Our opinions.
You need at least three sponsors.
Then you can get
a hanger for your
maybe next year. Because I don't have close contact to Adobe. Since we're not sponsored, you know, I need to really study it to change my thoughts.
That's right.
All right. So Monica, one last time for the listeners out there, how can they get in touch with your awesome tutorials that you put out and what can they see that you're excited about telling them? Just one last time.
Sure. You guys can find me in YouTube at Academic Phoenix Plus, or if you guys want to get those free videos that you can't find in YouTube, it's in academicphoenixplus.com/unchained.
Hey, you hear that?
I like the name.
Seriously.
All the links will be available
in the
blog post too. So if you want to check those out, go to the blog post. You can see all this if you forget.
Monica, it's always a pleasure to see you and work with you. Thank you for giving us jobs. And
thank you for teaching.
Yeah, of course.
And for doing this podcast. It's awesome. You guys do good things.
And that's our send off. Thank you, guys.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
So thanks for listening to our podcast. I hope that you're a subscriber, but if you aren't, please feel free to follow us on any of the major podcast platforms, especially iTunes or Spotify. You can find show notes and more resources available to help you become a successful game developer. Just go on over to our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. If you're interested in keeping the conversation going, then definitely come check us out in Discord, where we chat in real time for after show Tuesdays to discuss episodes, and Feedback Fridays, where we share screenshots on the projects that we're currently working on. If you go over to patreon.com, you can support our podcast financially. And if you do so, you get access to Life Unchained, our on-the-pulse, unfiltered game dev gossip content that we make exclusively for our Patreon supporters. And as usual, you can keep in touch and follow our happenings on Facebook and Twitter. That's Game Dev Unchained, the podcast.